God now. Before we begin, I just want to clarify, which I think I said it clearly, but I just want to make sure it's not misunderstood, and that is that when we discuss the fact that Shavuos in the minds of the Kiddush HaKodesh could fall out not necessarily on the day that the Torah was given, so what that really points to is the fact that the commemoration of Shavuos, the observance of the Yom Tov of Shavuos is not necessarily linked to the anniversary of the day the Torah was given, but rather the Torah says that you count 50 days from the Karban HaOmer, and that's when the Yom Tov is. Now, I don't mean to suggest that therefore originally when they did the Kiddush HaKodesh system, Shavuos had a totally different purpose, and now it commemorates the Matan Torah. In other words, even in those days, the idea presumably was that the days that followed the bringing of the Karban HaOmer were the days when they were actually the days after the Jews left Mitzrayim, were the days of elevation, of spiritual elevation, and presumably that's what the Torah says, that those days are, every day we know that they went from the 49 days, they elevated themselves to the 49 levels of Tumah, and constantly got themselves up to great, great madregas, great, great levels of purity. So presumably that is the kavanah of the Torah. In other words, when the Torah says count those days, that's what is being remembered. That's what we're the days of spiritual elevation. So therefore, Shavuos, even in a time, let's say, like the Gemara says, that it could have fallen out on the fifth day of Sivan, or it could have fallen out on the seventh day of Sivan, so it didn't have to coincide with the day the Torah was given, but the overall theme was to commemorate the spiritual elevation that the Jewish people had leading up to the Matan Torah. So I didn't mean to say that at one time it had nothing to do with the Matan Torah, and now it does. I don't think I said that, but afterwards I was a little concerned when I was replaying it in my mind. So what I meant to say was it did not have to coincide with the Matan Torah. In other words, the observance of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, as the Torah prescribes it, does not have to coincide with the anniversary of the day the Torah was given. Pesach coincides with the anniversary of the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The seventh day of Pesach coincides with the anniversary of the Kriyas Yamsuf. However, the Shavuos does not have to be that way. Like we said last week, by us, with the calendar, the Jewish calendar is set the way it is, so Shavuos always falls out, the 50th day always falls out on the sixth day of Sivan, which is the anniversary of the Matan Torah. However, it wasn't always that way. But even when it wasn't that way, it had to do with the remembering the spiritual elevation that went into the giving of the Torah. So it was not a totally separate entity, it just was not necessarily the anniversary. Whereas by us today, it actually coincides. When we say Matan Torah Seinu, it actually coincides with the day the Torah was given. I think I said that last week, but I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, today we have a topic which is very relevant in the business world, although it's difficult to sometimes pin down and exactly how this halacha applies. And that is, we find yesterday in Parshas Bahar, the Torah says in Perakot Hekot Gidalot, the Torah says, V'chisimkeru mimkar la'misecha okhano miyada misecha. If a person will sell something, if you will sell something to your friend, or you will purchase something from your friend, al tonu ish es achiv. Al tonu ish es achiv. The word tonu is a difficult word to translate, so I'm going to go with Art Scroll's translation. You should not aggrieve your brother. You should not aggrieve your brother, apparently, I assume means you should not cause him grief. You should not cause him, put him in a difficult situation. Al tonu ish es achiv. And what does that mean? So Rashi tells us here, Zu of Noas Mamon. Rashi on the Pasuk says that this refers to treating someone unfairly in monetary dealings. Al Tonu Shasachiv means don't charge him a price which is unfair. Now, the Torah proceeds to into detail that the Torah is referring to this in the old days when we observed Yovel. So the system was that in Yovel, all lands, all real estate returned to its original owner, and therefore the price, the Torah says, when you sell someone a field, you sell someone real estate, the price should reflect the amount of years that the person buying it is going to have the land. That's what the Torah says over here. But it says, Al Konu Ish HaSachiv, and this is an example of Onas Mamon. This is not to agree someone financially. Now, we have to know that the Pasuk over here, gives us two scenarios. The Pasuk over here says, V'chisimkeru mimkar, if you sell something, O Kono Miyadam Yisechel, or if you buy something. So what this tells us is that the law of Onah, the law of not dealing unfairly in business practices, not deceiving someone in the price of an item, goes both ways. It's not just the question that the seller cannot take advantage of the buyer, but the buyer also cannot take advantage of the seller. The pasuk here gives us both cases. The chisim kru mimkar, that's a seller who's selling something, o kono miadam yisecha, or a buyer who buys something, which means that the Torah is telling us that a person has to be upfront and charge a fair price for whatever he is selling, and so too a buyer has to offer a fair price to the purchase, to the seller, which means that sometimes you could have a situation where a person is selling something and he doesn't know the value of what he's selling. He doesn't realize the value of what he's selling. The buyer does, and the seller doesn't. The seller is naive, the buyer is perhaps more experienced, but he realizes something that the seller overlooked. So the Torah tells us it goes both ways. The din of Onah's mamon, that you have to treat people fairly in pricing, when you sell an item, so it's the selling and the buying. And this is the halacha that we have in the Torah, there has to be a fair price in any negotiation of a sale. There has to be a fair price between the buyer and the seller. And the Torah tells us that what this means is that this iser of onah, this prohibition of charging an unfair price, goes into the category of zela. It goes. This is really a subdivision of the iser in the Torah of zela. That just like you're not allowed to steal outright from somebody, you're not allowed to take something completely from somebody else without paying. So too, you cannot take something from somebody, you cannot sell something to somebody without charging the fair price. If a person is overcharged, that is an iser of losonu ish asachiv, and the Torah tells us that this goes into the iser of gezeila itself. Now, what does that mean? So, what essentially that means is that the price of an item has to be the true market value. Whatever the market value is for that item is what you have to charge, which means that in a typical situation, so a person who has a retail store buys from a wholesaler, he gets it at a cheaper price, whatever, there's a typical markup that exists in the retail business, and that whatever that markup is, he's allowed to charge. The Torah does not mean to suggest that you have to charge exactly the value of the item that you got it for, because if that were the case, there would be no business. That the business world is predicated on, you have to, the person, the merchant, has to be able to make a profit. So the Torah is not suggesting that you can't make a profit. But rather, what the Torah is suggesting is that it has to be a fair profit, meaning that it has to be up front, this has to be the retail value, the established retail value for such an item. Now, obviously, I'm sure everybody is thinking that in today's world it's very difficult to determine this, because you go into different stores and they charge different things. There are no two stores that probably charge exactly the same thing for anything. But what presumably it means is that there's a certain range. Within the range that this item typically is sold for, that's what you could sell it for. But to go ahead and take advantage of somebody who doesn't realize and say, "This is, I'm charging you this," and the person doesn't realize that he's being, what we would say, got ripped off. In other words, this price was exorbitant. Nobody charges this price. In any of the stores, you look in the stores, and nobody's charging this price for this item. So this is the prohibition in the Torah of Omnah, and as I say, it goes the other way too. If a person purchases something and the seller did not realize the true value of it, so this involves the Itzer of Omnah. Yes.
But you have the typical situation of a yard sale and
we'll get to that. Fine. Now, what does Omnah entail? What does the Itzer of Omnah entail? So basically, there are three halachas in Omnah. If you turn to the second side of the first sheet, we have the Gemara about Nasiya in Perek Hazov, which tells us pretty much the basic rules of Omnah. And there's an arrow right by the key point in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Kochos Mishtus Nikna Mecha. The Gemara tells us that there are three levels of Omnah. The first level is where the price that was charged, the discrepancy, was less than a sixth of the true value. Okay? So, in such a case, that a sixth approximately is 16%, if you figure it out, or more than 16.5% of an item. And that is the accepted standard for Onoah, as we'll see in a minute. And the Gemara says that if something was sold, if the discrepancy in the price was less than a sixth, meaning it's a less than 16.5% deviation, so then nikna neka. Then the halacha is that the sale remains, and that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. However, the Gemara says, yoser al shtus, if it was more than a sixth, if the deviation in price was more than a sixth of the value, then bittul mekah. Then the halacha is that the deal is off, which we'll explain in a minute. Shtus, says the Gemara, what happens if it was exactly a sixth? If it was exactly a sixth, so then kana. Then the halacha is that the sale remains in force. However, umatzir omnah. However, the halacha is that the seller or the buyer, depending on who's the guilty one, has to return the discrepancy. Which means that, let's start with the second case. If the overcharged price was more, or perhaps the underpaid price, was more than a sixth. It was more than a sixth. It was more than 16% of a discrepancy of the typical market value. So then, for example, if something costs, let's make life easy, if something costs $60, so then we would say that a sixth of it would be how much? A sixth of it would be $10, thank you. A sixth of it would be $10. It's been a while since I was in high school. If it was $60, a sixth of it would be $10. So that means that if it typically costs $60, so then if you charge up to $70, it would be acceptable. However, if you charge $71, that would be no good. And therefore the halacha would be, if someone went to the store and paid $71 for something that is typically sold for $60, the halacha is he could bring it back to the store and the sale is nullified. He could go back to the seller and say, I got ripped off, the deal is off. And it makes no difference in such a case, if the store has a sign that says no refund policy, right? It makes no difference because the halacha doesn't care what policy you particularly have. The only way you could ever do such a thing is if you made a tanai, when you spoke to the person, you spoke it out and made a condition with him, but no seller would do that. So therefore, in such a situation, halacha is the deal is off. The deal is off. Okay, so $71 for a $60 item, the deal is off. Okay, and this would be true even if you use the item, meaning even many stores have the policy that you could bring it back, but not if you used it. but not if you used it, depending on what it was. But here, if it was more than a sixth, if it was $71 for a $60 item, the halacha is you can tell them take it back, the deal is off. The deal is off. That's if you paid 71. Now, if you paid 70, it was exactly a sixth. So then the halacha is that the sale is on, the deal remains, but the money has to be returned. Meaning that you can go and demand a refund. You can go to the person and say that this was, you could go into the store and say to the person that the seller, this wasn't fair. The price that you charged me wasn't fair. I demand the refund, and he's obligated by the Torah to give it. He's obligated by the Torah to give it. Now again, we're not saying here that the retailer can't make a profit. Of course he can make a profit. We're talking where the typical price for such an item is $60. The typical price in such a situation to charge that much more is considered unfair. If it was exactly a sixth, the money has to be given back.
How much money?
How the difference in price? That. The whole difference.
So
the whole Omnoah has to be given back.
Go in and buy it for 65.
Yeah.
It's six.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that right now. 65.
70, I can go back and get it.
70, you can get your money back, but the sale is on, and more than 70, the deal is off.
Right, but I'm saying, six. In other words, 60, I go in and I pay 65.
Right.
It sells.
Yes.
Six, I can't return.
Right.
If I convince the guy to sell it to me for 60,
you're asking is the refund.
I can go all the way back.
All the way back to the thing. I think so. I think that's the din. In other words, you're asking that if it would have been 65, he would have gotten away with it. If it was 69, he would have gotten away with it. And now we charge 70. You have to give back the whole, and I believe that's the din. That's the din. Once you stepped over the line, you have to give back all. Yes.
But then, with economy and scale,
right.
So this guy is selling it for $20
right.
more than Brandsmart, and right. So how do you make that thing? But I didn't sell it for more than a sixth more.
Right.
You know.
So I think that in today's world, because of the economy of scale and the fact that you have these huge corporations that can produce things much cheaper than someone else can, or they can get better deals because they buy in such large quantities. So en hachanami, that would not be onah. That would not be onah. It's difficult to determine in today's economy what's onah and what's not. But what's clearly onah is if you know that nobody charges more than that for this item. You know, but the guy who you're selling it to doesn't know. He's naive. Maybe in that type of business, in today's retail of those kinds of goods, so it's true. You can go into Brandsmart and get it for much cheaper. You go into Walmart if you're willing to deal with all the other issues over there and wait online forever and you'll get a much cheaper price. That's one thing. But let's say you're dealing with things where the price isn't so established. Let's say in the jewelry business. Okay, where it's not so clear what the people don't want. The people walking in have no idea what the price is. They're relying completely on the seller. And the seller knows that this is the value of such an item. This is the typical value. Like people go to get things appraised, right? The appraiser will say, when you get an appraisal on something, what's he telling you? He's telling you that this is pretty much the accepted price, it's the accepted value for such an item. So in a situation like that, to charge more is by the Torah standards, considered fraud. In other words, that's not right. That's unfair. That's unfair. And in such a case, the halacha is again, dependent. If it was exactly a sixth, if it was more than a sixth, or if it was less. If it was less than a sixth, the halacha is that the deal stands and the money does not go back. That's the way it is. So thus, we have the, I think, fairly well-known shear that onah is a sixth. A sixth, meaning 16.5%, 16, I think it is 0.6%, is considered the shear of onah. And therefore, in such a situation, the deal stands and the price doesn't go back. However, there is a very big question whether in that situation it's mutter to do it. In other words, when we say that the shear of onah is a sixth, So halakhically, what that means is that if it's within a sixth, the deal stands. Nobody has to give anyone back anything, the seller, the buyer, etc. However, in a case, the shaila would be, is that mutter to do? In other words, if you're the seller and you know this is not the value, I'm going over the value, but I'm standing within a sixth, is that mutter to do or not? So here, this is a very big shaila in halacha, and obviously this has a very big ramification for us, because everybody knows that okay, the shear of Ono is shtus, the shear of Ono is a sixth, but does that mean it's mutter to do it, l'chatchila, or just that you don't get it back? So here we have in the Shulchan Aruch, if you look at the second sheet, Friday, in Zivvah, it's in Reish Chav Zayin, it says, Yesh l'estapeh, im mutter l'honos es chaveru v'kochus mishtus. The Shulchan Aruch says that there is room to question, it's unclear, whether there is Ono less than that. Im Yesh Bono Shav Pruta. In other words, assuming it's more than a Pruta, the shear of Ono, you never would have to give it back if the whole discrepancy was less than a Pruta. However, the shear of Ono, the question is it mutter to do it or not? It's unclear. It's unclear what the din is in that case. So if you look here at the Sma, which is on the side, Niris Einayim, on the left-hand side, so on the top part of the sheet, so Sif Vav in the Sma, he says as follows, where it says, Yesh l'stapik im mutter. So the Sma says, Zeh wash anatur b'shem ha-rosh. He quotes from the Rosh, Yireh, kivan sha'atora amra al tonu. So he says, what's the question? What would be the issue here? Why is there room for this doubt? So he says, well, because the Torah said, Al Tonu. The expression that we had in the Pasuk was, Al Tonu Ish Es Achiv. Don't do such a thing. So therefore, there's room to say, Afilu Shavah Pruta Bechlal. Right? And therefore, one could say that when the Torah is telling you, don't take advantage of another person, it means don't ever take advantage. Even one could make the argument that any discrepancy from the true value of the item is taking advantage. What's the difference? Well, it's only a dollar. But the fact is that's a discrepancy. It's not fair. So one could say that's what the Torah means. Okay? That's one possibility. He says, Ela shechazal amru den yichon l'tzamtem atshtos. However, in other words, it could be that really it's usher to do it even for any amount. Just that, the Chazal said that for a sixth you can't haggle with him. For a sixth you can't go to him and start complaining and ask for your money back. Okay? And he proceeds to say, but if you know that you're charging the extra price, he says, if the mocher or the lokeach knows that the price is not consistent with the real price, then also lo lahonos, then it would be also to do it. Just skipping down a little bit, he says, Oshem, or perhaps, kivan d'derech mekach u'memker hu'bekach, since this is the way of business, l'fikach ad shtus havet v'chal mekach lo mikri o'not klav. The other side of the coin is you could say that perhaps the reason why we have this shear of a sixth is because up to a sixth, it's typical business dealings. A person could overpay a little bit or underpay a little bit, and therefore it's like presumed that a person is mochel. In other words, because I know when I go into a store that it's possible that I'm being a little bit overcharged, or it's possible that, you know, a seller may not realize the true value of it. He may realize that when he's selling it, or he may need to move the merchandise. He wants to get it out, so therefore he's selling it for less. So since it's typically, in the business world, it's common that there should be a little overpricing or underpricing, therefore one could make the argument that you could do it l'chatchila. In other words, the Sma is telling us, and it's a quote of the Rush, one of the Rishonim, that the Rush had a question in his mind when the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, and the Gemara gives the shear of a sixth. So does that mean that up to a sixth you could do it? Because that's just the way it goes. People understand, and therefore everybody has in mind that I'm okay with it. Or do we say no, that the Torah said that really you can't do it at all? You can't, if you know what the price is, that's the price you have to charge, or that's the price you have to pay. Just that, Up to a sixth, he can't have a recourse that he can go to the person and ask for the money back or ask for more money. So the Rosh said, V'yarei shamayim yotzi yidei shneim. And therefore, the Rosh concludes that a person who has yirei shamayim should be yotzi yidei shneim, meaning that he should try to that he should try to satisfy both requirements. Okay, with meaning that he could have it on both sides of the fence. But in short, what that means is that a person should not. We hold that l'chatchila, a person should not charge anything more than the true price. If you know the true price, then you can't say that I'm gonna mark it up even more, because it's still the extra markup that I'm giving is still within a sixth of the price. We would say that that's not the right thing to do. That's also considered onah. So therefore, for this reason, it really comes out that a person has to be very, this is the erelichkeit that is demanded by the Torah, that a person has to know, you have to know the value of the item. Now again, it's very hard in our times to know the exact value, because it depends on which store you go to, and it could depend on the situation, and it could depend on the location. It could be that in one place, you know, perhaps oranges are cheaper here than they are somewhere else because they're grown here. You know, maybe it's the opposite. I don't know. Sometimes I think it may be the opposite. But the fact is that in New York, for some reason, oranges are cheaper than they are here. But the fact is that maybe that's enough. The fact that they charge so much here. But a person, there are many variables that go into enough. But at the same time, you have to try as much as possible to know the value. And certainly the relevance that certainly applies to us is that if you know the value, if you know that this is the value of this item, that you can't overcharge and you can't underpay. You can't underpay. And therefore, even though the economy runs on the concept of buy low and sell high, but there are limits to this. And a person, and if you're dealing with a seller who's naive and he doesn't realize the value of what is being sold, he doesn't realize what this is. So in such a situation, you have to go ahead and tell them. You have to tell the person. You may not realize, but this thing is worth more than you think. That this item is worth more than you think. This is the halacha of onah. Yes.
So this idea of keystoning is only us during the Jewish world.
You got to pardon my ignorance.
In every town, there's certain items that are given that whatever it costs you, that you double the price.
So then that's everybody's doing that.
Everybody.
If everybody's doing that, then that's the value. In other words, what determines the value is not like a theoretical value. This is what it's worth. In other words, if you went to stores, all retailers presumably have a formula how much they mark things up. That, of course, that's mutter. That's what Tara says. Otherwise, you wouldn't have business. But if there is a range of an accepted price, there's a range of an accepted price, and you have a person who doesn't know the price, and a common situation where this would happen, let's say, would be if you have a tourist who comes into from a person, a foreigner, who is not familiar with the pricing in this country, and he walks into your shop, and you see right away, he doesn't know. He has no idea what this is about. So in a situation like that, you say, well, hey, here's an opportunity to make more money, because he doesn't know, and he's a tourist, he's in good mood, he's looking to spend money, and I'll just mark up the price more than what I usually charge other people. That is definitely awesome.
So what about like the Jewish stores
that pay stuff? Okay, so we'll get to that. Okay, good question. We'll get to that. Okay, hold on. We'll get to that. Now, before we do, we'll get to an interesting case at the end of this. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
What about an item that's so unique that absolutely no market?
Well, I'm going to get to that also. An Astro. Right? Okay, we'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. So now like this. Yeah, okay, so we'll see. Now, it should be pointed out, the poskim all say that the law of onah only applies to the price. But there is no law of onah, meaning there is no heter whatsoever, if the discrepancy is in the weight or if the discrepancy is in the amount. Which means that if you can't say that if you own the bakery or whatever and the people pay by the pound, So my, okay, my scale, I'll calibrate my scale that it should be off by less than a sixth. And therefore, look, you know, what's the difference? That's all right. The Torah says it's not onah, even though we just said that you should not charge onah. If you know it's not the price, you're not allowed to do it. But there is no issue whatsoever. A person has full recourse if he did not get what he ordered. So, for example, if a person puts in an order for 20 items, or let's say a person puts in an order for 100 items, and you only send them 99. You only send them 99, so you say, well, the discrepancy is less than a sixth. There's no such thing. He absolutely has the right to recourse, and he could call you up and say that I want the one, you know, a person, you know, puts in whatever it may be, an order for books, and he says, send me 100 books, and the wholesaler sent them only 99. He could have the right to go back and say, I want the 100th one. It has nothing to do with it. No one can make the argument, well, it says in the Gemara that less than a sixth, you can't ask for your money back. It doesn't apply in a situation like that. And it doesn't apply in a situation where it was not weighed properly. If it was not weighed properly, even the slightest deviation, a person has the right to go back and say, this is not right, you didn't give me what I paid for. So therefore, the law of onah only applies to pricing. That's all it applies to. It does not apply to any other discrepancy. Now, the question comes up, what happens if you have a sale or something like that? So basically, the halacha is as follows. The halacha is that if both sides, if it's clear to both parties involved that this is not the typical price, if everybody knows that, then it's all right. Meaning that the law of onah really is based on some sort of deception, and if you're not dealing up front, you're not being fair to the person you're dealing with. But if everybody knows that this is what's happening, then you're allowed to do it. So, for example, if you go into a store after the holiday season and they mark down their things 50%. Right, you go over, you don't have to go to the merchant and say, hey, you know, this item, you can't try this, is much too little to pay for this item. It typically sells for much more than this. Right, because it's a sale, and he knows that. And so too, if it's a situation where it's known to the buyer that this price, that this is off the charts, it's clear. No one would have a habamina. Nobody would have any, would entertain the possibility that this is the price. But due to whatever reason, he's selling it for this price. So then also, there is no onah. Okay, which we'll see maybe makes a difference. Now, another, just going through a few more halachas, there is another halacha in onah, which is mentioned in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, that he says that if you were the victim of onah, that does not give you permission to repeat it, to pass it on to the next person. Which means that if you're a retailer, and the wholesaler ripped you off, and there's nothing you can do about it, he just took you for a ride, and now you're stuck with the merchandise, you can't pass the onah on to the buyer. The fact that you paid too much for something that should have been less is not a heter. So therefore, sometimes if that happens, it's not a heter for the seller to pass it on. Now, it should also be pointed out that this halacha of onah applies not only to retail stores, but also applies to services. It also applies to services. If you provide a service, if you're in that line of work, where a professional provides services, so again, there is the typical value of such a service, and that's the value that has to, that's the amount that has to be charged. To go ahead and now in certain situations, of course, a person has the right to say that due to the situation, I could charge you more. If a person comes to an accountant on, you know, the night before April 15th, and says, quick, I gotta get my taxes done. And he says, well, what'd you wait till now for? I'm about to go to sleep. And they say, no, I must have it done now. So then, to charge more in a situation like that is understood because the situation calls for that. The situation calls for that, and therefore, when it's clear, there is no onah. And so too, when you're dealing with items which are, depending on the context in which you buy them, they charge more. If you go into a Publix, A can of soda, a can of Coke, probably would break down to about 50 or 60 cents. But if you go into the pizza shop, a can of soda may be a dollar and a half, right? Which you'll say, well, that's you can't charge that. That's almost triple. That's 2.5 times the price. How could you charge that? You go into a restaurant, right? Or you go to a fancier place, you go into some hotel, you know, to a lounge or something like that, it would be who knows what. So that's not onor either, because in that context, that's what it's sold for. In other words, in this situation, a restaurant, there's a markup in a restaurant due to all the other factors that are involved, they charge more. So the point is, you'll say, so it's very, very confusing and it's very difficult to get to what really determines the price. The answer is, yeah, it is difficult, but suffice it to say that in a situation where I know that other people in the same situation don't charge more than this, to go ahead and charge more is unknown. And like we said, the Rosh says, l'chatchila yar shamayim, a person should not even do it, even if it's less than a sixth. So therefore, a person really has to be careful to know the correct price.
Yeah. So when you're talking about services, you're sort of talking about the costs of labor.
Right.
So what if you have employees that are earning...
Underpaying employees, which is also enough. That's also enough. To underpay a person from the value that job usually brings in is enough as well. That's it says in the Chazal, it's brought in all the poskim, that there is enough by wages. A person can go to his boss and say, what are you paying me? This is not what everyone else is being paid. Now the question whether or not you can recover that money in a bezdin is debatable for a reason which I'd rather not get involved with, but the fact is that there is onah there too. There is onah, there's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that he says here, I'm just reading from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he says, Kishen Shiesh Yisr Onah B'mekach U'memkar Kadesh Shiesh Yisr Onah B'sfiros U'v'kaplonos, that in wages paid to an employee, a person has to pay the fair value.
What if the boss says, well, I can go to India and get somebody to do it for...
I don't know. That's a good shot. I don't know. That's a good shot. If he says that you go against the law and get someone cheaper, I don't know. Well, okay, if it's within, so supply and demand, in other words, in an economy like we have, the economy is driven by supply and demand. So therefore, it could be that if there's an excess of employees, that brings down the price of wages. That it could be that that's so, in which case it wouldn't be enough. You know, if it's less than the established price, if less than the minimum wage, aside from violating the halacha and the American law, that would be clearly an issue of onah. To pay someone less than the minimum wage is onah, because how could you do that? You can't do that. It was decided, especially here, the government decided that this is the cutoff price. This is the least you could pay somebody. So if that's the case, then the person has no right to do that. So you say, well, I'll get these workers, these illegal immigrants and all that. I don't know. It's a question. But sometimes these are shilas and halachas, the shilas of Isurim here. So despite what goes on, in the world, a person really has to know, and it's very complicated. I will not claim to be an expert myself by any stretch of imagination, but these are real questions which come up.
Everything has to be with it, to say that that's an opportunity.
That's wrong, right. If you know a person is absolutely desperate for a job, and therefore you say that, okay, well, usually the going rate for this job is $20, but I know that this person is so desperate that they'll take 10. So that's clearly enough. There's no question. That's something. You're not paying him, that's not what you're supposed to pay him. So you're taking advantage of him. You're taking advantage of his situation. It's also to do that. As I also said, yes.
So if they know,
and there's a mechila, if the person says, I'll do it anyway, so, okay, it could be that it's not, you can't recover the money, but this is surely not the kavanah of the Torah. In other words, if a person wants to go with what does the Torah want in this situation? What is the spirit of the Torah in this situation? The spirit of the Torah is don't take advantage of the person. If this is what people get paid for this type of service, then the fact that this person is desperate should not make a difference.
So, but a common scenario is that comes to you, he wants to perform some service for you, that you typically, I'm not
not interested. In other words, whatever. I'll garden. I'll do your garden.
Right.
And the going rate is $50 a week.
And you'll bring.
And personally, $50 a week, I'm not interested. I'll mow my own lawn.
Right.
But the guy's desperate. And he says, I'll do it for whatever, $45. And you tell the guy, look, here's the story. For me,
right.
For $25,
so you have to know. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but I would imagine it has to do with, is he doing it because he wants to build up the business, in which case it's like a sale. Like a sale. In other words, I put my things on sale. It's worth it to me to do it for such a cheap price. It could be different if you know that he really doesn't want that price, but he has to feed his family. They have no food in the house, and he's so desperate that he'll do it for anything. That is unknown. That is unknown. It depends. In other words, if the guy's looking, people have it. It's a common strategy in business that to break into a market, you know, you say, oh, I'll do it for cheaper. You know, whether that's right to bring down price is a different discussion. If it's within the normal fluctuation, but if the guy comes and says that I'll do it for $10 because it's worth it to me $10, even though typically they charge $75, but my kids have nothing to eat, so therefore $10 is better than nothing. I would have to think that's unknown. I don't know.
That's
not a real mechila. That's
the way. Very, very typical, especially now when you have a receding economy. So
I don't know. If the market is changing because, in other words, in a recession where due to the difficulty in employment, things will come down. Fine, if it's within the normal limits. In other words, even
that's what determines the normal limits.
If a guy comes to mow your lawn and typically they charge $30-$40 for that, and you have him, you know he's desperate. You know he's absolutely desperate. So you say, well, I pay $8 for this. So that I don't know. That sounds to me like that's the deal. What's that?
There's two scenarios. One scenario is where the guy's charging $50,
right?
And really, I would pay $40,
right?
But I would pay $50, but I know it's desperate,
right?
There's another real scenario where I'm really not interested in paying what's the $30.
So then it's a mechila. In other words, I don't know. I can't say for sure. These are shilas. I don't know. In other words, you're saying that I'm doing him a favor because I wouldn't do it at all. But I'll do you a favor. I know you want the business, but I'll pay $10 for it. Okay, so then it could be different in that case because then he understands you. He says, listen, I have absolutely no. I don't even have a one. But go mow my pages, right? I'll give you $10 for that, right? So okay, then it could be that's not an issue. But if you're charging something, nobody charges this. Nobody charges. You're just taking advantage of him. So that I don't know. I don't know.
If he's willing to do a service for any amount of money,
yeah.
To negotiate. Why would there be any issue if it's a negotiated price between two people?
So if it's a negotiated price between two people, and he knows exactly, everybody knows the score, then you're right. It probably isn't enough. It probably isn't so enough because he went ahead and he said, look, it's worth it to me, but it's like a sale. That's like a sale. Notice my services are on sale. But it, you have to distinguish in certain situations where you just, I think people, I think someone could know sometimes intuitively where you cross the line, where now you're just taking advantage. In other words, if you take advantage of a situation, I'm not saying for sure, it's difficult to say a psak halacha and a thing like this, which is so relevant, but a shiloh it is. A shiloh it is in the same way a person will ask a shiloh if a drop of meat fell into their flesh of the pot, and they'll run to call a rabbi to ask that shiloh, so this is also a shiloh. This is oftentimes a bigger shiloh. Because a lot of the shilas that come up in kitchens and so forth could sometimes be only the question of an issa d'rabbanan, whereas here you're dealing clearly with an issa d'oraisa, and it goes into the category of zeila. It goes into the category of zeila. It's a question you're stealing from the person. Yeah, yeah.
To use your first example, you talked about the price of items.
Yeah.
If you had somebody come out to fix your roof,
right.
And you gave them a good price, but
but you know he must have given you the wrong price because he estimated the size wrong.
Right, then you have to tell him. Then that's enough. Yes, that's right. Nobody wants to hear that, but that's true. He didn't measure correctly. Well, you know he gave you an estimate. The guy said, I'll fix all the problems in your car for $500. And you know that your transmission is beginning to slip, but for some reason you know from driving the car, but he has no way of knowing that, and he gave you one of these offers. That's enough. That's wrong. You have to tell him. You have to tell him. It's not right. Now we'll see in a minute that here there is a fillip between a Jew and a guy. Here there is, but it's a very limited fillip. But there is a difference that could be made between a Jew and a guy. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I want to pay taxes.
Right.
I want to give benefits.
Yeah, that's something else. Right. Right.
But they know that person is desperate for a job.
Yeah.
And this is the only condition that I'll pay.
Yeah.
But
that's a different issue. No, we're dealing here with specifically not paying him the true amount. There's a different question where he's doing something which may be against the law or whatever. But here we're dealing with where you're just not being fair. So let me just, if you look here at the sheet on the second side of the second page. So we have here the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that the pasuk that all of this is based on is the pasuk says Al konu ish es ochiv, that you are not allowed to aggrieve your brother. Based on this, the Chazal say that this law of onah applies only to Jews and not to goyim. Now, one will say, "Whoa, does that mean that you could go take a goy to the cleaners?" So the halacha is not so. The halacha is not so. The halacha is, it means like this. The chol din onah ain't ella be Yisrael. Avol nochri hatoeh b'shivui hamekach o b'shivui hamadeah ain't tzorech lohochia ta'uso. The discrepancy between a Jew and a guy is limited to one thing. It's limited to if he made a mistake. If he made a mistake, so we have, this is the well-known but rarely correctly understood concept of tos akum. If a guy made a mistake in the valuation of something, you're not obligated to point it out to him. You don't have to go out of your way and say, in other words, if he had the ability to know and he didn't say it properly, then the Torah's din of Al Tonu Isha Sochiv in that respect is limited to Jews. He says, Avo also has also, but you're not allowed to deceive a goy. Bein b'shivu imekach, bein b'cheshvon, k'moshis barvel z'zeila. Z'zeila is also from goyim just as much as it's also from Jews. There is no heter of z'zeila. So therefore, to go ahead and deceive a goy and say, well, look, this thing, it's really worth more, that you'll disguise it, you know, you go sell a car, a used car to somebody, and you'll make it look like it's really great, you know, you'll put on nice hubcaps, and you'll shine it up, and all that. Wow, what a beautiful car. That's z'zeila. That's z'zeila. That you're not allowed to do, but it makes no difference who you're dealing with. That there's no heter to steal from a guy at all, and this certainly enters into it. The only difference that exists between a Jew and a guy, which could be relevant, is in a situation where he's selling something and he misunderstood the value of it, do you have to point it out to him? Do you have to say to him, hey, look, you're making a mistake, the thing that you're selling is worth more than you realize. It's worth more, but to deceive him, to go ahead and say that it's not worth that. Are you kidding? This isn't what a joke. This isn't worth. This car isn't worth this amount. This car is worth much less. When you know that it really is worth that amount, that's also to do. That's daily. The only discrepancy that we have is a mistake that the guy made on his own. It was his mistake. So then we have, the Torah says, Al Tonu Ish Es Ochiv, that this is limited to, that the extra step that you have to go and point out to the seller that, hey, this is, you're not charging me, you should be charging me more. Or, in a case where he offered a price, on his own, and he says, why are you offering me this price? You could get it cheaper somewhere else, much cheaper, then you don't have to say anything. But to go ahead and say to him, hey, this thing is worth $100 when it's really worth 50 is zeila. That's 100%. Or if it's worth 90 and you say it's worth 100, that's zeila, and zeila is not mutter by a guy either. So therefore, this doesn't really do a whole lot, but sometimes this could make a difference.
Yeah.
Obviously, in a situation like that, a person has an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, or sometimes to avoid a chil Hashem. In other words, that is definitely true. And even where the guy made a mistake, but sometimes he made the mistake and he's going to realize later that he made the mistake, and he's going to say to himself, hey, I kind of knew that I made a mistake. Why didn't he say anything? So that would be a chil Hashem. A chil Hashem is not mutter. That's also too. So therefore, the heter of the tolls of a guy is extremely limited. It's extremely limited. Basically just means that if you're an expert and he's not as big an expert, so you know you're getting a better deal than he realizes, you don't have to point it out. But if it's going to be the type of thing where he's going to know that he'll catch on later on that a mistake was made, so that would be a chil Hashem, which cannot be by a guy either. So therefore, the heter is very, very limited, but it's a little bit of flexibility here. Now, let me just try to finish at a reasonable time here. There is one major exception to the law of Anah. There's actually several, but the Gemara tells us about Matthias, widely quoted Gemara, Eino Nola Karkos, that there is no law of Anah when it comes to real estate. When it comes to real estate, the Gemara says that the rule of the sixth doesn't apply. And presumably the reason for that is because sometimes people want it and they're willing to pay any price, and they're location, 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 and therefore the true value of the thing is debatable. Is debatable. And therefore the rule of Onah that you overcharge me by a sixth does not apply. But again, that doesn't mean that it's mutter to do it. Meaning it's not mutter. Just when we say there's no onah, that means that he doesn't have recourse in the basin. He can't pull you into court and say, give me my money back. But if you know that this thing isn't worth that price, then it's deception to go ahead and it's a question of sale. It's all misrepresented the price. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. So therefore these are on the one hand, you can't nullify a deal. If you bought a house and you go back to the broker, the frum guy, you go over to the broker and say, what in the world is it? That no one else in this neighborhood paid anywhere near that amount for their houses. How did I do this? So the halakha is that you can't take them to Bezdin and nullify the deal. Because by karka, the law is different because people have the mentality, the dots of people is different when it comes to karka. Because sometimes the person will pay more, and sometimes there could be a reason that he would pay more. However, that doesn't mean that it's mutter for the broker to do that. In other words, you can't go ahead if you know that no one's paying that price in this neighborhood. So why are you wanting to pay that price? Because you don't know? So that would be a question also. You have to tell the person this really isn't the price. So these are situations. So when it comes to karka, there is a different halakha. But again, basically what it boils down to in all situations is that you can't commit a fraud. You can't go ahead and misrepresent to another person whether it's the value one way or the other. Now, one case, I'll just end with this, one case which is discussed in the recent poskim, which is a common situation, is the following. There is one category that we have not mentioned yet, which is something which has no true value. If something has no true value, there is no onah. In other words, everybody, so for the classical example, this would be an esrog. Okay, an esrog, people pay $60, $80, $100 for an esrog. An esrog is a fruit that grows on a tree. There is not a fruit in the world that anybody pays anywhere near that price. Nobody would pay anywhere to get a lemon, whatever, the most exquisite fruit. You go to a high-end fruit store, you'll pay $6-$7 for a fruit. Nobody's paying $60, $80, $100. Ridiculous. So therefore, in such a situation, there is no onah. There is no onah. Why not? Because everybody knows that this is not the price. Everybody knows that this is not, but nobody thinks, well, yeah, sure, that's what, that, you know, to produce this. For whatever reason, I'm not suggesting that the price is, you know, a rip-off, that everyone could make the decision on their own. But what I'm saying is that nobody will claim that that's the intrinsic value of this item, because it has no value. An esrog is only meaningful to Jews, and even to Jews, it's only meaningful for 1 week of the year. If someone came to you today to sell you an esrog, you would give him a dollar, right? The same esrog, if he came to you the Erev Sukkot, you may give him $100. Right? So therefore, the price is not the real price, and therefore there is no onah. So the following case came up, a situation where a wealthy American Jew who had a son-in-law learning Yerushalayim, so he was going to Israel for Sukkot, and he arranged with his son-in-law that he, you know, he should take him, he's going to wait till he gets there to buy an esrog, and he's willing to pay, you know, Baruch Hashem, he's comfortable, he's well off, and he's willing to pay top dollar for an esrog. So the son-in-law took him to a stand where most people sell a srogan. They know that when they open up the boxes and they go through them, they find the real good ones and they put those aside, and those are the ones that they charge the top dollar for. So this was a stand in Yerushalayim. One could imagine the scene. He walks in there dressed like an American, and he walks in there before Sukkot, and he says, I want a top of the line esrog. So the merchant said, no problem. He opened up, you know, they always have a certain spot. He opened up a box that no one was privy to, and he said, these are my excellent esrogan and $150. So he went ahead and he looked at it, and he picked out one that he thought was very good, and he paid, handed him over $150 cash. And he took it home. He's very happy that he, you know, whatever. He was willing to pay that amount of money for an esrog. So about a half hour later, he gets a phone call from another American who happened to be in the store at the time, and said that you should just know that an Israeli just walked into the store and also said exactly what you said, and he also took out, showed him the same box, and he only charged him $110. And he only charged him $110, meaning the reason why he charged you $150 is because he figured, a rich American. A rich American is at $150. So in this situation, you know, Israeli, who he knew, the other guy who was Israeli knew, he can't get away with that, so he only charged him $110. So now, the question is, how do you judge this? Because on the one hand, you'll say, there's no onah by something that's off the charts. On the other hand, here you see that he charged him $40 more just because he was an American. If he walked in dressed like a quote-unquote rich American, so therefore he charged him that amount. But had he come in dressed like a poor man, he wouldn't have charged him that amount. So the question is there onah in such a case, and can he go back and say, give me my money back. Give me your money back. This is crazy. You charged me an extra $40. That's way more than onah, right? That bittul mekach, that's more than a sixth. Can you do that or not? So it's a little bit, when you get into the technicalities of it, it could be a bit unclear whether he has the right to go ahead and nullify the deal. But clearly, the merchant cannot do such a thing. The merchant can't, that's not the price. Just because you think I can afford to pay it doesn't make it the price. That doesn't make it the price. The price is the price. If you're willing to sell this item to people for this amount of money, that means that's what it's worth. The fact that you're charging me more is because you see an opportunity, because of the fact that money may not mean so much to me, that therefore I'm willing to give over more to you. That is a serious question of onah. So therefore, this is really, again, it's hard to get to the bottom of it, and in a lot of areas it's unclear because prices fluctuate and they vary from place to place and situation to situation. But what really a person has to keep in mind is that sometimes there could be a shiloh in these areas. That is the price I'm charging fair, or is this called I'm taking advantage of the person? And the Torah says, "I'll tell the wishes also." This is a law. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. We have to keep this just as much as we have to keep all the other things. And therefore, sometimes it could be that a person may want to consider asking a rav or a posek in a situation before we just go ahead and assume something is permitted.